When I started my apprenticeship, I learned a sneaky wee trick from my senior stylists, and that was how to book fakies. They would use their 7 p.m. booking and fill it up with a fake client so they could get home an hour earlier. Well, I tried it a few times, I have to admit. It was kind of cool to get away early, and when you're 18, that's quite important, right? But it wasn't long after I became qualified that I started my own salon. And of course, the focus changed. There were no more fakies, no more going home early, and I learned super fast that time was money.
You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective Podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLeman.
So my point here is don't be fooled into thinking that you sell haircuts or waxing services in your hair or beauty salon, because you're really selling time. Along with income generating activities, being smart with your time management and scheduling should be the key area of focus for you as a business owner, because failing to do so can cost you a lot. In the 20 years that I owned my salon business, I noticed over time that many of my stylists constantly had this smattering of 15-minute gaps in their appointment schedule throughout any given day. And while at first it seemed small, I decided to work out what those 15-minute gaps meant to me. What were they worth to me? So do this exercise with me. Take your own appointment column or that of a busy stylist or therapist in your salon and count how many 15-minute gaps there are in a day, a week, and a month. And let's say that you found 4 15-minute gaps in a day. Now, I know that's really easy to find. That's 60 minutes a day, or the time equivalent of one full-paying client. So if your average client bill is, say, $100 an hour, you're charging out around $100 an hour or per client, then that's $500 a week in lost revenue, assuming, of course, that you're running a five-day week. Or if you're doing 6 days a week, that's $600 a week. So let's take that a step further. And then if you add that up, that's $23,000 in lost revenue. If your average stylist works 46 weeks of the year. Now that's after sick leave, public holidays, annual leave, etc. That's $23,000 a year. So maybe you don't need more staff or more clients, but just better time management skills. So it's the little improvements in business that make the big difference, right? And, you know, we haven't even counted all the staff in your business. So if you have 5 staff members, that's a potential of lost income of $115,000 per annum in lost revenue. Big emoticon screen. That's a lot before you do anything. You know, you don't need to put your prices up. You don't need more clients or more staff. You just need to change your time management skills. Okay, so here are some ideas on how to better manage your appointment calendar to make the most of your time. All right, tip number one, take a few minutes every day to surf your appointment book or at your 10 to 9 meeting huddles in the morning and find those small gaps between bookings. Now go and call your clients up and ask them if they're happy to move their appointment by 15 minutes. We think our client appointments are set in stone and we can't move them and manage them, but you know we can, it's just not like that anymore. And if you feel like that's a big job, you know, administration job to start with, you'll soon get better at it. And what will happen is the culture in the business will start to manage bookings hard up against the previous appointment. And for those that do it on purpose, you know, to go and have a smoke break or whatever they need to do, eat something in between their clients, when they start to see that those appointments are going to get moved anyway and that you're going to call the client and move them, they'll eventually get the picture and they'll start to pull finger, because it's embarrassing for them, for their clients to be called all the time, constantly, especially if it's only them and the rest of the team are sorting it out. Tip two, if you hate to call those clients, then look, I'm a big fan of Automate. move those offending appointments in the appointment book and let your software notify them via email or text automatically. So I discovered this awesome feature when I worked for Timely Salon Software, and you can do that automatically. Make sure your message is polite and it gives them an option to respond. But I love a little bit of a done-for-you tech automation. If you're a smaller team and don't have someone in front of house, then you can automate that. 15 minutes typically isn't going to break the bank for your client. All right, tip number three, meet with your team and do the math with them on their own targets and their wages. If you know that they can earn $23,000 a year in sales income, what does that mean to their bottom line, to their pay increase or to their commission rates? It'd be much easier to manage your appointment times if you get their buy-in, right, from the whole team. Most team members want to work smarter per hour rather than harder for longer, and especially if they feel the reward in their pocket. Definitely measure success. Gamify it. Gamify and watch the changed activity by counting back how many 15-minute gaps that you've had over the last few months, and measure them each week and show your team how it improves their productivity. Measure it in minutes or dollars, whatever's more motivating to you and your team. So we did this exercise with our team, and it was really awesome. We gave them a bunch of appointments. We printed them out and we cut them all up. And each team, there was a team of a stylist and a colorist together, or a stylist and support person. And we printed out an appointment page and we cut up all the appointments. Everybody had a little packet of appointments, and they all had the same in their packet. And we asked each group to create the most productive day that they possibly could. So they teamed up with their colorist or support person and they created an insanely productive day. They had two appointment columns, one for the colorist, one for the stylist. And they booked their colors, their toners, their haircuts, their men. They had all the choices in their little bag of appointments. And they all had the same to choose from. And the team who created the most income for that day won a big prize for the team. It was one of our staff meeting activities. And, of course, the winning team had no appointment gaps in the day that they had produced. And, of course, yes, it was all full of colour and the upsell type activities. So it was really good learning, not just about time management, but about the types of services they had. And the team that won didn't necessarily have the most clients. Now that's called working smarter and not harder. They really learned how to work smart, and we had heaps of crazy fun. It was really cool. All right, so in summary, take the time as a salon owner to make this an impactful activity with your team. Book out a staff meeting, work through it with them, make it all about them. Don't make it about your business. It's not about your business making $23,000 more. It's about them. What's in it for them? Let them see what an impact it will make on their own pocket and their own commission, and actually to less stress in their day. And I'm a big believer in workshopping things rather than doing the tell scenario, because that's a bit like being a kid in college. You get told what to do. If you workshop it with them and let them have the lessons and learn it with you and have their own learning experience, then they're on board with you more. So this is the type of work that you need to be doing or is worth your time to focus on instead of being behind the chair just cutting one client's hair at a time. Focus on making an impactful change for your team and for your business. Okay, now I want you to think about streamlining your service menu and your appointment times for all of your services. We've worked on how to work on time management in your team. Now, what about your actual service menu? It can be quite simple to make everything run more efficiently if you're open to change. So if your service menu currently includes 1 hour services, 45 minute services, 30 minute services, and even some crazy 15 minute activity going on, then you're setting yourself up for a really messy adventure. So you might have 45 minute facials, you might have 1 hour haircuts and 45 minute color processing, 30 minute waxing, 15 minute eyelash tints, and you might have men's cut at 30 minutes, but color processing is 45 minutes, and then you have 15-minute toner services. You know, you can see how creating 15-minute gaps that aren't changeable is really easy in that scenario. And the likelihood of creating random unproductiveness is, it's easy to do. So it can get messy really fast. So the two ways that you can manage your appointment times for increased productivity. And the first way is to make all of your appointments either 1 hour or 30 minutes for everything. So your woman's haircut, for example, would be 1 hour and your men's haircut would be 30 minutes. All your facial services would be an hour and all your waxing services would be either 30 minutes or an hour. So in this process, when we did this, we ditched any 45-minute services. So we used to do a three-quarter head highlight that was 45 minutes. We'd have an hour for a full head. We'd have 45 minutes for three quarters. Half a head was 30 minutes or a few foils was 30 minutes. And so we ditched that. We gave it away. You either had a few or half a head of foils in 30 minutes, or you had up to a full head and we booked you an hour. And we ditched the 45-minute service. It was unproductive. And if you were a man, you had a 30-minute haircut. If you're a woman, you had a one-hour haircut. There were no 15 or 45-minute appointments that existed in our services, including processing time. And we decided that if processing time was 30 minutes, yes, there was the time that needed to come off at the basin, but that time fell into the one-hour cut and blow wave because we knew that we could do a cut and blow wave in 45 minutes. And we used our support staff. We were productive now to have enough support staff to support this. Okay, so the other way to do it is that if all of your appointments are 45-minute long, your woman's haircut is 45 minutes, your men's haircuts are 45 minutes, your colour applications are 45 minutes, your processing times are 45 minutes, all your facials are 45 minutes, all your waxing services are 45 minutes. And if you worked it that way and you priced it accordingly, your day would be more efficient and you would have no gaps and you would have a very streamlined business. Because, you know, let's face it, hair and beauty, it's not a perfect science. We're dealing with humans. Our staff are humans. Our clients are humans. We already run late sometimes and we already run early sometimes. And you'll find that that doesn't really impact things that much when you change it. So give it some thought. Now, I've seen some salons that have set times that they take appointments. I haven't tried this myself, but I know this business that works extremely well for them. And they all have the same appointment times and they take lunch together as a team at the same time each day. So they have a 9 o'clock appointment. So when a client rings, they say, you can come at 9, 9:45 or 10:30. There's no, can I come at 9:15? The answer is no, you can't. You can come at 9 or at 9:45. And they have these set times throughout the day because all of their appointments are 45 minutes, including processing time. Everyone has lunch at the same time together. It's interesting. It's different, but it's very efficient. There is no time waste because we don't sell haircuts. We don't sell facials. We sell time. So implementing time structures like this can, you know, it can take a little bit of time up front, thinking it through, problem solving, deciding what you're going to do when things change is difficult. Let's face that. So we need to think about the process that we put in place and the things that we can do to support that change. Yes, it will be difficult first. It's a bit like moving house. You know, you have to pack things up, and when you unpack, you have to reorder them in a slightly different way. And you feel a little, you forget where you've put the knives and forks for a couple of days. But, you know, after a week or two, it'll be, the change will become norm, and it'll be like you've always done things like this, right? And I promise you, it'll certainly be worth it. Making these small adjustments to your business could add $23,000 per employee to your sales income. And what if you had five stylists? What was that number? $115,000 per annum instantly on your sales. So what could you do with this money? Well, for a start, you could hire someone in a salon support or a front of house role to help care for the clients and make their experience outstanding. stay on top of the housekeeping or on top of front of house and managing and dealing with those clients and training someone specifically to deal with this change process. And of course, helping the team stay on schedule. And they can be the ones who are in charge of making everything run smoothly, right? And don't forget about those shoes that you will be able to buy. Maybe with that kind of increase in income, maybe 15 pairs of new shoes per annum, just thanks to those 15-minute gaps and managing them. All right, let's talk about managing your clients and team expectations around your available appointment times. It can be tricky. I totally get it. And you're going to have to listen to a few staff's woeful tales about why their bookings must be, you know, on their terms. Politely taking back control of your appointment calendar, it's a process that you may not want to expect to nail overnight, but it doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it. And if you're thinking of changing the way that you do things to a more streamlined approach, planning and preparing ahead of time for the and processing slowly but steadily is the best method. So here are some tips on managing the change process. Tip number one, prepare some scripts for you and your team to practice and use when challenged by a client, say, for example, when they must have their appointment 15 minutes earlier because, you know, little Jimmy has to go to soccer or whatever it is. This will take the pressure off when you're making the booking with your client, and you know, you don't have to robotically say these scripts word for word. You need to know the rules before you break them. So if you know that saying, once you've practiced a script and you kind of know the message that you're saying, it'll start to come more naturally and it will sound less scripted. But I think the key here is to have some well-rehearsed responses to the kind of objections you're going to get from those demanding clients, or of course for you as the owner, the reluctant to change staff member. And help them, because often that reluctance from your staff member comes from a fear that they're going to be, having to deal with this client face to face, right? All right, tip number two, if it feels big, don't try to change everything at once. You know, make your change process a long-term project and start with changing one category of appointment services at once. So like start with your men or your men's haircuts or services, or start with your colour services only, or your waxing and eyebrow services. Just take one part of your business and streamline and change that at once. And then in the next period, you can change the next thing. You don't have to tackle everything at once. Put some speed and efficiency training in place for your team, because there'll always be those team members who feel that their current methods or way of doing things will not allow them to work faster or better, right? And so we had this really great trick that we put two things into place. The first one that we did was that we created some cards with some times on it, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, or whatever it was. And we laminated them and they were brightly coloured. We talked about them in staff meeting. And if someone was running behind, or they were taking too much time, or they were talking too much with their client, or for whatever reason, we would just go and quietly walk over to the client or the trolley or to their space, and we put the time card on their trolley. Or if they don't have a trolley or if that's not appropriate, we would hold the card behind a magazine and we would walk over and just politely let the stylist look at the card that we were holding behind the magazine. You know, it's a polite, quiet nudge to your team member. And because we had talked about it and agreed with, you know, that this was how we were going to do things at our staff meeting, it was all in good, you know, for a good cause. And they understood that it was a gentle nudge. So they felt more empowered to speed up, stop talking, make the change, right? We had a client guarantee that guaranteed we would not keep them waiting more than 10 minutes past their appointment time. So we worked hard to ensure that we stayed on time. It was a team focus. So one of the other things that we did was that we provided speed training for those that needed it, especially around foiling, you know, because foiling, it's quite a time-consuming job and you need to get your technique down right to be on time. And the team were on board because they understood the impact for the client and for themselves of why staying on time was important, especially with our guarantee to back that up. So we would focus on one-on-one training if need be to give them the skills to stay on time. We worked on tricks to work faster, how to move their hands faster, how to talk less, all while maintaining quality, of course. So we worked as a team on this focus point, being on time, staying on time, and why it was important for our clients. So my next tip is, a question first. Do all of your staff wear a watch? And if they don't, have a code in place or a practice in place, you know, if you notice someone is running late for them and their next client has arrived. And how will you alert them? So most of our team, we would encourage them to wear a watch, but every now and then you get one who doesn't want to wear a watch for whatever reason. Can't afford one, affects their skin, multitude of reasons. So we would have a little watch off a strap that if we needed to put it on their trolley or next to them somewhere that was not obvious to the client, because there's nothing worse than a client seeing you clock watching, but so they could keep a polite eye on the time. I hate clocks in the salon. I'm not one to think that that's a good strategy. It points out to your clients how late you're running. I think it's not necessary. It's a time where clients come to switch off and not think about time. And I always used to say this, you know, our clients would come, we were in the CBD, so right in the business corporate, they were always conscious of time, but they'd want to come and relax. So they would come in, sit down, and they would almost have this face of, right, okay, I'm ready to relax. On your marks, get set, go, I'm relaxing. Okay, time's up, got to go. I'm not relaxing anymore. I'm off to my busy life. So, you know, we don't want to have that clock in their face. So, all right. Okay, so remember, not only do you and your team have a lot to gain by being more time efficient, but your clients will love you for it. The biggest complaint about a visit to the hair or beauty salon, typically, other than the quality of the service or the result, is being kept waiting. Especially in the hair industry, we're hideous for keeping people waiting. So time is precious. It's precious for everyone. And in the modern world, especially when we're trying to cram more and more things in, it's the one thing you can't make more of. You can't control time, but you can harness it and make it work for you. For you, for your business, for your teams, and most importantly, for your client. And that's all from me today. I'd love to hear what you choose to implement in your business after listening to this podcast. You can find me at www.salonownerscollective.com or Facebook and Instagram by the same name. Hit me up and message me. I'd love to hear from you and hear what you've got out of this episode. Otherwise, I look forward to seeing you next week.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective Podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective Podcast on iTunes or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa, and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.